think I'm entitled?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel can't coexist with these guys. This group has to be destroyed. But this group follows the same playbook. This is a playbook they've played over and over again. Not just them, by the way, Hezbollah and others. Okay, they attack Israel. They kill a bunch of Jews. Then they take off running and they go hide in Gaza, for example, and they hide behind civilians. Israel responds. Civilians, unfortunately, die because the Hamas uses them as shields. They then go run to the global press and they say, look what Israel's doing. Look how terrible this is. And then everyone puts pressure on Israel to stop before the job is done. And then what happens? Those guys survive and they come back and they kill more Jews in Israel. And that plays out over and over and over again. That's their playbook. They've done it over and over again. And this time has to be different. These guys cannot be allowed. This terrorist organization cannot be allowed to continue as a viable entity. These are the guys who want their own country. Hamas. Hamas's position is basically we want to govern not just Gaza, we want you to give us our own country, I imagine, presumably, from which they can then kill even more Jews.
That would be their plan. The terrorists know what they want. Do those fighting against terrorism really understand all of the elements? Those on the front line should, but if you look at how the attack surprised Israel, surprising Israel? I never would have thought that would happen. I do believe, and we're going to discuss later in this hour, that we already have terrorists inside this nation. Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, Taliban, much less Chinese citizens who are really military soldiers forming a fifth column inside our nation because of our open border. And what we should do right now is seal our southern border tighter than it's ever been. But this administration is not learning a damn thing, especially after watching what happened with Israel. When they had a full secure border with gates, but they didn't really have the sentry on guard to alert, hey, they're coming through. If you missed the previous hour detailing some of the events as to how they went down, how they got inside, how they shut off communications, how they basically shot soldiers who were on some nearby bases dead in their bed, you need to pull that up. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. You can find that program, and then you can share it with others. But Senator Rubio is making it very clear there's no dealing with Hamas and Hezbollah. And yet this administration continues to have the attitude, if we appease them and work along with them a little bit, they'll like us more. No. They'll look for your weak spots and exploit them. Thank you for joining us. This is October 16, 2023. The second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here every day for you, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And while on the air, we are streaming video at News Talk STL, Facebook, and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. If you miss any of it, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up. So what is the latest on getting Americans out of Israel? Those who are not in the Gaza Strip and taking hostages, those who are in Israel that are trying to get out. Well, the word has been sent that flights will be organized for them to get on it, but then the word added to it is that the Israelis leaving will have to be able to pay for their flight and pay for their own accommodations or housing or whatever they'll need when they get to the States until they get to wherever they eventually want to go. This is a rescue mission. First of all, we should have been sending military transport planes in. We did it to get, hopefully, Afghans who helped us out of Afghanistan. We should do it for U.S. citizens. Why is the Biden administration not doing that? Why is the Biden administration doing anything or not? There is also a report that a ship will be moved to the northern part of Israel that will also take Americans away from the war zone. I haven't heard yet if you're going to have to pay for your ship ride back, your cruise, or whatever else are going to make it. This is happening so late in the game at this point. We don't know how many Americans might have been killed by the thousands of rockets fired into Israeli territory. Supposedly there have been 29 confirmed, either by the bombings and or the terrorist attack on the beach where they were having the party. The numbers are probably going to be much higher. We don't know exactly how many Americans might be in Israel and how many we need to get out of that area. And we certainly don't know how many have been taken hostage and in the Gaza Strip. But it's reached a point where even Jake Tapper of CNN and NN raises the question many were expressing.
Is rescuing the hostages a priority at all? I mean, Israeli news media like Haaretz, they say it doesn't seem like it at all. And frankly, Jake, if my kids were being held hostage in Gaza, and as you know, there are Americans being held hostage in Gaza right now, I'd want you to send in the Navy SEALs. What's the conversation like in the White House about the U.S. conducting any sort of operations in order to save Americans being held hostage in Gaza?
Well, the president has been very clear that he has no higher priority than getting Americans back safe, Americans who are being held hostage by Hamas.
The Israelis are bombing the crap out of Gaza, Jake. I mean, it doesn't seem like saving the hostages are a priority at all right now.
The point may well made. And you heard Jake Sullivan try to start expressing some thoughts. Jake Sullivan, the same one who had told the nation some weeks ago, everything's quiet in the Middle East. And he's supposed to know better. Now, if it's not quiet, he doesn't have to go sound an alarm, put people on panic, but don't sell the lie to the American people or the rest of the world. Just say, we're keeping an eye on things. But when you say everything's good and quiet, you're giving a false sense of security. So let's go back to Tapper questioning Jake Sullivan.
It doesn't seem like saving the hostages are a priority at all right now.
Well, for President Biden, they are a priority. They're the highest possible priority, and he has sent hostage experts to coordinate and consult with the Israeli government on hostage recovery efforts. He's also made sure that our diplomats are in touch with third countries in the region to explore avenues for their safe release. I have to be cautious about how much I can say about certain efforts he's undertaking because we want to protect those efforts to give us the best possible chance of getting our people home. Now, Jake, one important point when it comes to the issue of the Navy SEALs is we do not at this point have pinpoint location information for where the American hostages are. So we have to continue to refine our understanding of where they are and even, Jake, who they are, because we know there are 15 unaccounted for Americans, but we cannot confirm the precise number of American hostages being held by Hamas at this time.
Now that I understand. We don't know exactly where they are. We don't know how many. But riddle me this. Could you, if it's such a priority to get Americans to safety, why did not that very weekend of the attack, if not by Monday or by Tuesday or by Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or even Friday or last weekend, U.S. military planes being sent into Israel when many U.S. air carriers stopped flying in for threat and possible war and threat to crew and passengers? Why didn't the U.S. military, why weren't they dispatched to go in? I just listed five different days we could have reacted, and they still haven't. Now, supposedly, flights will be allowed to go in. Again, I'm not sure if we are contracting with U.S. air carriers, but those boarding the flights are apparently being told, you must pay in advance for your flight out and have arrangements to pay for where you're going to stay when we get you where we're going. Very confusing. So when I hear Jake Sullivan say, that's the highest priority, I don't see any priority either. And then the other question, and this is the one that might well be a final playing card for Hamas.
All we can do is to continue to work closely with the Israeli government on hostage recovery options, which we are doing, and then work through third countries to see if there are avenues for release. Those efforts are underway. Our hope is that they can produce results. We will continue to stay focused on this. It's as high a priority as the president has.
One senior political operative with Hamas floated the possibility a few days ago of a potential prisoner swap with the U.S. for the release of hostages. Would the U.S. entertain that?
We have not looked at that, that. We have not heard from them something like that. That's not something that is currently under active discussion. It has not been proposed. What we are focused on instead, as I said before, are pursuing avenues with third countries for release. I'm not going to get into the details of what that might look like, again, to protect those channels in hopes that they can bear some fruit. But I will say that President Biden has shown over the course of the past few years that he will make hard decisions to get American hostages home.
Would that be a hard decision, like giving Iran $6 billion in exchange for five Americans and five terrorists that they won't return, which he recently did, and Biden said, we will unfreeze $6 billion being held in Qatar, or Qatar, depending on your pronunciation. And there's an issue about if the money's been frozen or not frozen again. See, that story started going around over the weekend, and right now, even Senator Rubio, when he's asked, is the money frozen again?
Well, I don't know if it's been refrozen. I've seen the reports on it. Look, the Qataris are complicated. As it's a complicated situation as much as in that part of the world. It's a small kingdom with a lot of money. And how do they punch above their weight is they have influence. A long time ago, I believe they made the decision that having some relationship with Hamas made them a player in the region, gave them some influence. They had this love-hate relationship with Hamas. They send them money. They cut their money off when they don't do what they want. They also, by the way, operate Al Jazeera, which is incredibly influential in the Middle East. And on the one hand, I think the Qataris probably do not want to see a regional war because it's destabilizing to them and everything else. On the other hand, they have this longstanding relationship with different groups like this because it gives them influence in the region. And it creates all kinds of friction within the kingdoms, the different Gulf kingdoms involved. So it's a complex situation involved there. Unfortunately, yeah. I think they should re-examine all of this. I really don't think that groups like Hamas should be anybody's proxy or should be anybody's agents of influence. These groups can't be dealt with. They have just showed us who the Israelis yeah. have known they are, and many of us have known they are for a very long time. They have demonstrated it to the world. These groups have to be eliminated.
They do. And again, that's Senator Rubio, Maria Bartiromo, saying that is a very confusing area. Now, keep in mind, Qatar is involved. Iran is involved. They, in turn, fund Hamas and Hezbollah, although our State Department says we don't see any direct tie. And then, of course, Iran is also under the umbrella of China. It's one big ball of twine, and we're not in control. But did you know that U.S. investments, maybe your pension money, is going to Chinese Communist Party and in turn maybe to terrorists? Did you know that?
We shouldn't think for a moment that Iran doesn't work alongside the Chinese Communist Party. You'll remember it's now been a year and a half or 2 years, signed a 25-year weapons deal between China and Iran. No, they are firm partners, this axis, right? I'll give you another example from just recently. The UN Security Council, China and Russia, blocked any response, any just simple statement about the grotesque terror attack inside of Israel. No, the Chinese and the Russians see this as a chance to distract the West, to undermine what we had begun to build out in the Middle East, relationships between the United States and the Gulf Arab states. The administration has played fast and loose with American money to the harm of the American economy with the Chinese Communist Party.
That is former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And this is following a report by the Coalition for a Prosperous America, which issued a new case study. Now, the CPA is the leading national bipartisan organization representing domestic producers and workers across many U.S. industries. And they were pointing out that Vanguard actually, it was previously reported in the Financial Times, so it's not just the CPA if you don't believe them. Vanguard, the world's second largest asset manager. You have any money with Vanguard, pension funds, and so forth? The second largest asset manager, something like $8 trillion, is acting as a pipeline through which U.S. investment dollars are being funneled into Chinese military companies and corporations already sanctioned over human rights abuses. And if the money's going in there, do you not think money's also going to Iran and terrorist organizations? Senator Rubio says this is an issue.
Indirectly, absolutely. I would tell you a couple things about China. The first thing they care about, because they're not like our leaders that are stupid, they want the oil. They understand that oil is critical. They may put out statements about global warming and climate change and clean energy, but they want oil. They have the world's largest surplus of refining capacity, and so they don't want to see anything that disrupts the oil supplies in the world because it hurts their economy. The second thing they want is anything that costs, drains America, costs America money, or distracts America. And so in their view, for very little investment, any sort of disruption there that focuses our attention on there instead of Taiwan and things of that nature is positive. And so that's why I think you see the Chinese take the position that they have and have relationship that they have with Iran. In essence, they believe they want to overtake America as the world's great power. They view Iran as an irritant to the United States and a place that we have to focus on. And so the more Iran has power, the more Iran has influence, the more Iran can be a player at our detriment, the better it is for China. And I think you'll continue to see them take this position as the Russians have as well. But the Chinese obviously have a lot more power and influence at this point than the Russians do.
They do, but, you know, we're already seeing pushback to terrorist actions that they took in Israel. There are some reports that Israel is fighting terror, but is its response to Hamas legal and justified? And there are also reports that Hamas is killing Palestinian civilians trying to get out. We discussed this before last week. Hamas will not let people leave the northern zone of the Gaza Strip. They were given X number of hours by the Israeli military before they moved in ground forces. They still haven't. Some are saying, well, maybe they're not going to go do it anyway. No, I think they will. They're waiting, obviously, one, to get more intel about where Americans and other hostages might be held, including Israeli citizens. But they will not let their own people leave. They want to use them, as we heard earlier, as human shields. And so money that goes through Vanguard investment to China, to the Chinese Communist Party, to the Chinese Communist military machine, and in turn to some to Iran, which in turn funnels money to Hamas and to Hezbollah, and is basically supporting these activities. It is your decision where your money is. But you might now be aware that your money has blood on it because of the way we're allowing things to happen. Coming up, the shadow war of Iran seeking supremacy. Stand by, please. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is author of a new book out, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. And as we talked to you before and said repeatedly, obviously Iran is behind Hamas, although our State Department just can't seem to understand and will not admit that it is. Here's my guest, Brandon Weichert, I should say, the author of The Shadow War. Brandon, welcome aboard.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Let's begin with your thoughts. I know you also go around, before we get into the book and some of the details of that, you go around and do some lectures to various military groups as well on basically security issues, technology, and so forth. What is your thought when you first heard that Hamas was easily able to get into Israel?
Well, it's a huge intelligence failure. I have no idea what was going on with Israeli counterintelligence and counterterrorism, but they missed a big one. It's a lot very similar to what happened on 9/11, where our intelligence agencies were just not paying attention, not minding the store the way they should. These things happen, and it just shows you the importance of having a robust counterterrorism program, because the terrorists only have to get it right one time.
Yep. And that's the point. And before you joined us in our preceding hour, I was telling the audience about a piece out of the New York Times pointing out that basically we failed. They were relying too much on high tech to keep an eye on what might happen. And there was, quote, as I call it, no sentry at the gate. And once they broke through, they did attack some base positions nearby, but were catching soldiers still asleep in their bed.
That's right. That's right. And this is typical of Western nations. We put our faith in technology, and we cut back on sort of the more traditional human sources of counterterrorism capabilities. And it comes back to haunt us, because the bad guys, in this case, Hamas, they don't have the high tech to go off of. They've got to rely on the old elbow grease. And that really gave them an advantage here in the high tech versus low tech battle. Low tech won the day, unfortunately.
So what is your response when Secretary of State Blinken has said there is no direct evidence linking Iran to this attack on Israel by Hamas?
Well, it just proves that the Biden administration are a pack of inveterate liars. They do not want to find evidence, because to find evidence, which is all around us right now, of Iranian involvement in this, would mean that the entirety of the Biden Middle East program, which has been basically to undermine our traditional allies in Israel and Saudi Arabia while empowering nuclear arming Iran, will have been a failure, which of course it is a failure. So by pretending like there's no smoking gun or there's no way to know for sure, the Biden administration is eschewing their their responsibility for this attack.
I want to break that down in several levels. Let's begin with the money. Now, of course, their first response is, hey, the money has not even been was not given to them before the attack, so they couldn't have any involvement. In other words, if I tell you I'm sending you $5 million, whatever you got in your account, you might go out and just blow anyway because you know I'm going to give you $5 million if you trust me. But now but now they're saying it's been refrozen, and yet no one really seems to know. Senator Rubio says, I don't know if the money's been frozen back again or if it's still being given to Iran.
Right, and we have no way of knowing because the Biden administration has become extremely proficient at covering up its tracks and dealing with Iran. The Biden people, because they're all former Obama people, including Biden himself, they are wedded to the Obama-era nuclear agreement with Iran and this faulty notion that Iran is just a rational actor like any other country, and if you treat them like any other country, they'll come around. That's, of course, not the case. And so we don't know for sure what's going on with the money, but even if the money wasn't spent, the fact of the matter is if you know someone's got $6 billion in the bank, you're more likely to work with them and give them what they need to move ahead with the thought that you're going to get paid on the back end. And that's exactly what I think was going on here.
I agree. And now back to another thing you raised, and that is the deal that we were trying to broker peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia, and that Iran did not want peace in the Middle East, and they certainly didn't want a more Americanized neighbor.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's how you know this is all the evidence one should need for proof behind Iran being involved. Because Hamas acting the way it did, they targeted these people that they killed, the most vulnerable among the Israeli population. They did that because they knew it would force the Israelis to respond militarily, which would divorce Saudi Arabia from Israel, because the Saudi government is afraid of its own people, most of whom are sympathetic to the Arabs of Palestine rather than the Jews of Israel. So the Hamas doing this is proof that they're working for a foreign actor like Iran, because Iran is the only one that really benefits from divorcing Saudi and Israeli power.
You're listening to Brandon Whitechurch, the author of the new book, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. You quote a Saudi official in your book at one point, Iran, quote, is a paper tiger with steel claws.
That's right.
Explain.
That's right. Well, basically, the Iran, as we understand it, could never take the Americans on directly. They would even have trouble taking on tiny Israel directly. But because they don't wage war in a direct way, it's all through sort of these terrorists and asymmetrical, unconventional methods, they're able to basically do outsized levels of damage to their targets through terrorist proxies like Hezbollah, Hamas, and even Fatah, and in the Houthi rebels in Yemen as well.
Right.
And so by doing these unconventional tactics, they're able to really do damage, even though they themselves are not really that strong.
Now, of course, the issue is, how fast can this escalate? Iran's already made it clear, you come near us, you're going to get the full wrath of us, and this Biden administration is so weak, I don't think we have any standing in the international community.
We certainly don't in the eyes of the Middle East, because we have been so feckless. We had George W. Bush's wars of aggression that really didn't end well, which means we look weak. Then we had Obama kowtowing to the Middle East. Then we had Trump, who was the only one that actually had a sensible policy, which is why we had relative peace when he was in power. But then as soon as he was out of office, Biden takes over and it goes right back to the Obama policies of kowtowing, and we look weak. And when you look weak in that part of the world, you have no credibility and your interests will never be protected.
And, you know, to that extent, and the word kowtowing, Senator Chuck Schumer in leading the delegation to China, which had already been planned before the war happened, but then he's meeting Premier Xi after the war had broken out, I should say the attacks by Hamas, and the first thing he does, he lowers his head and his eyes as if bowing to him, and I said, you do not do that. You stand up, you look the man in the eye and shake his hand not shake his hand. You don't lower your head like you're bowing before him.
That's right. And remember, this is what Obama did when he went on his Middle East tour when he was first elected as president, is that he was bowing to all the leaders in the Middle East. You know, there's a commonality here in terms of cultures. The cultures of the East, whether it be in the Middle East or China, they do not respect weakness. And when you do something like bowing to a leader like Xi, with whom you have no real agreements with, You are not being respectful. You are being weak, and they're going to exploit this. And there's another angle here that I've been talking about for years. China benefits indirectly from all of this conflict in the Middle East because it forces us to take our eyes off of the China threat to Taiwan. And it also, because Iran is attacking an American proxy in Israel, it's weakening our standing in the Middle East, which is a geostrategically vital area because of the oil. And it is actually empowering Iran, which is a proxy of China, and therefore it's empowering China as it tries to break out of American containment in the East by moving into the Middle East and beyond.
Well, that moves into everything I was discussing before you joined us about a new CPA report, Coalition for Prosperous America, actually basing their report on the Financial Times. Vanguard, the world's second largest asset manager, is a pipeline through which U.S. investment dollars are being funneled into China, Chinese military companies. And, of course, then they distribute it to Iran. Iran distributes it to terrorists. It's all linked.
That's right. That's right. It's all linked. And, by the way, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, all of these countries are increasingly coordinating because they think America is weak because we are projecting weakness on the world stage under President Biden's leadership.
Ronald Reagan had made a remark, world wars do not start because America is too strong.
Correct.
So where do we stand? Right. Where do we stand?
That's right. That's right.
So where do we stand now?
Well, we stand in a very bad spot because all of Eurasia is burning, and the one thing that would stop it would be a rational, strong American leader. And we do not have that. So as long as we have President Biden in that administration, things are going to be very bad. Until we get a new president in 2024, God willing, we're going to be teetering on the brink of world war. In fact, as I said in my book, The Shadow War, it's the Middle East where World War III will come from, not Ukraine and not Taiwan.
Yeah, you did point that out, that the next world war is unfolding right before our eyes. And you wrote the book before Hamas went into Israel.
The manuscript was finished 2.5 years ago, and then it went for a year in edit. And so really, I mean, I was ready for, I was calling this stuff long before this war broke out between Hamas and Israel.
And anyone of knowledge of the Middle East and the conflicts and the disputes, even among themselves, has to recognize that that hotbed, and it's very hard, you know, to find alliances and then believe that they're going to be on your side when the bullets start flying.
That's right. That's right. And the only thing that keeps, particularly in that part of the world, the only thing that keeps alliances together is a strong leader and a nation that is strong and that is consistently strong. And unfortunately, under Biden, we have not had strength. And so even our allies are looking to make other deals. That's why the Saudis, who hate Iran, are now secretly doing deals with the Iranians because they don't think the Americans are serious anymore.
All right. I want to thank you, Brandon Weichert, the author of The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. We'll do it again.
All right. Let's do it again. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Brandon. Coming up, we talked earlier about how the FBI Director Ray is saying, hey, be on alert for any terrorist activities you might see. Well, we've already seen some in the States, and the open border remains open. And if you need a bank loan, you're having trouble, maybe you need to declare that you're an illegal. And then what about all this stuff that's in front of us, including, are we going to have a new House Speaker anytime this week or not? We still have a lot to cover. You don't want to go anywhere. Stay with us, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
Change, change, change. 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 Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own. So I'd encourage you to stay vigilant, because as the first line of defense protecting our communities, you're often the first to see the signs that someone may be mobilizing to violence. I'd also ask you to continue sharing any intelligence or observations you may have. And on our end, we're committed to doing the same so that together we can safeguard our communities.
No, no, no. On your end, you're not doing what you need to do to safeguard America. That is FBI Director Christopher Wray addressing Police Chief Association's gathering in San Diego, warning that we have to be aware of terrorists or lone wolves who decide to become a terrorist and want to be part of this jihad. Thank God it didn't happen the other day when last Friday the Hamas had called for a worldwide jihad. But you also have to be aware of the other side. Attacking people just because they are Muslim and you want to assume they're terrorists, you can't do that. And there's a story out of Chicago that suggest that is exactly what happened. An Illinois man, and by the way, in recent days, police in U.S. cities and federal authorities, of course, have been on alert for any violence, not just from terrorists, but anti-Semitic or Islamophobic sentiments, which we should be. Those should not be allowed either. And this last weekend on the Sabbath, they had increased security at synagogues across the face of the nation. But I'm telling you again, terrorists will strike a softer target, even if it's a lone terrorist that decides to join the jihad. They're going to look for an area where it will be easier to carry out what they want to do. So you must be vigilant everywhere. But you also have to caution and talk down. I mean, you have to call out people that you think or maybe going to attack someone simply because they're Muslim. But out of Chicago comes this story that a man decided to attack a six-year-old Muslim boy and his mother. He is a landlord, according to police. They were renting one of his apartments, units, or whatever they had. And because he knows they're Muslim, Late Saturday morning, he shows up at their town. Actually, it's about 40 miles southwest of Chicago, the Plainfield Township, and decided to start attacking, stabbing the woman multiple times. It appears the mother will survive. And then he had turned his attack, or in the process, attacked the six-year-old. The six-year-old was rushed to the hospital, but too late. That's also an act of terrorism. That six-year-old had nothing to do with Hamas and what's happening in Israel. Neither did his mother. Let me ask you a question, a little personal. Been wanting to get a bank loan for something lately? Been having trouble? Oh, sorry, your credit's not that good. Here's your answer. Declare that you are an illegal. That's right. Declare you're an illegal. Your issues are solved. The Biden administration is ordering banks do not reject loans from illegal immigrants simply because they're here illegally. I'm not pushing your buttons just to be pushing them. I'm giving you the fact. The Department of Justice and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau put out a recent statement saying that rejecting illegal immigrants for credit cards, various types of loans, just because they are non-citizens is unlawful. They don't have any credit. They don't have a credit score. They're here illegally. And yet they cannot be denied credit from the banks and so forth. You've got a credit score, not doing so well. You need another loan. You need to buy a car, but your credit is just upside down right now because of everything's going on, the Bidenomics. Which, by the way, Biden was supposed to be flying to a speech today to discuss the success of Bidenomics. He got an easy out. Unfortunately, at the blood of innocent people, because of what's happening in Israel, he decided to cancel the trip. Would not cancel the White House barbecue on the day Americans were being killed along with Israelis. But now he's not going to go do a Bidenomics. You know why? Because the backlash against what they did that day is so powerful he cannot. Plus, what are you going to sell on Bidenomics? And how are you going to explain that you're going to tell banks and credit card companies you've got to give money to illegals? I'm looking at a statement here from the Assistant Attorney General of the DOJ Civil Rights Division. Lenders should not deny people the opportunity to take out a loan to buy a home, build their business, or otherwise pursue their financial goals because of unlawful bias and without regard to their actual ability to repay. Whoa. Let's go through this again. Should not deny it because of unlawful bias. But then I like the part without their regard to actual ability to repay. Well, hell, we should all get a loan. I don't have the ability to repay $5 million, but I want one. Larry, you're a legal citizen. You can't get that. Could an illegal get a $5 million loan like that? I don't know. She does go on to say fair access to credit is important, crucially important for building wealth. No kidding. But on the other side, Bud Cummins, a former U.S. attorney, said the DOJ telling banks it might be illegal to refuse to loan money to people who broke federal law to reach the bank? You got to be kidding me. The invasion of illegal immigrants is intentional and it must be stopped. And again, according to the Central for Immigration Studies, there are about 11.3 million illegals in the U.S. as of this last January. And the gates are still open despite terrorist activities in Israel. And even a warning from our government, we need to be on alert for terrorist activities. Our border is open. Some financial institutions have maintained blanket policies denying anyone credit based on immigration status without regard if they can repay it or not. So they say this shields them from liability. But the feds are saying, no, that's incorrect. You really should be giving them this anyway. In other words, if they default, who ends up paying for it? Do you remember the housing crisis of the 80s? You know why that happened? Because the government ordered Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac give loans to anyone and everyone. All they got a good income this month for the last 3 months, but they have no real job. They don't have anything. They cannot afford the payments 6-9 months down the road. And everything began to crash. House prices went down. People upside down, and people doing their best, who are really trying to do their best, they get caught up in it. No, if you're illegal, go about the country, get a great loan. If you're a legal citizen, what a shame you're born in the U.S. of A. Coming up, we still have no Speaker of the House. The latest effort.
A senior Republican House member tells me he has spoken to 20 Republicans who are vowing to block Jordan if he forces a vote on Tuesday. He can only afford to lose 4. A big reason why? Republicans don't want to reward the hardliners who ousted Kevin McCarthy and sunk Steve Scalise. This member told me, we can't reward this behavior. He said, we can't let a small group be dictators. But another source familiar with the matter says Jordan has had positive conversations with his colleagues this weekend and is ready to force that Tuesday vote. Jordan believes he can eventually convince the holdouts to back him.
That is a report from CNN. Now, they supposedly were going to have a vote today. Now they're talking about a meeting tonight and maybe a vote tomorrow afternoon. Maybe. Missouri Congressman Hofford was being questioned by Maria Bartiromo on Mark Hofford, I should say. I think I said Hofford. Mark Hofford, as to all of this involvement around Jim Jordan when it looked like he might be ideal, and then things got wobbly again.
Tell me about the pushback here. What are the GOP holdouts wanting? Why won't they get behind Jim Jordan?
Well, look, I am behind Jim Jordan. I've been trying to promote him and get others to promote him as well. I think he's the best solution to get 217 in our conference. We have 18 members, though, who won in Biden strong districts, a lot of those in the New York area, who are going to have a difficult time selling this to their constituents because Jim Jordan is conservative. Look, he's pushing the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. He's doing the investigation into Hunter Biden. And so it's going to be hard for some of these moderate Republicans to sell Jim Jordan to their constituency. He's got to have 217. Without that, we're going to have to find another candidate.
This is a classic example of shooting yourself in the foot. The Republicans control the House by a slim margin, and they cannot seem to get their act together. And, of course, they're going to be going out asking for re-election to control the House and give us the Senate. And this kind of clumsiness is going to give the general attitude of the public, like, you guys can't even take control of one House. Why should we give you another one? It certainly shouldn't give you the White House. When they have that closed-door meeting, I would really love to be there. I would really love to say, get your butt in order. Make a decision here. Stand with it. Don't waffle again. Move on to business. Now, the other thing is, Jordan does head up Judiciary Committee. That's one of those overseeing the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden investigation. He could still do that, but being Speaker of the House might be detracting somewhat, which would be just fine for the Biden administration. And in fact, to be honest about it, the Biden administration, let me put it this way, the Biden family, I hesitate to say is happy and glad about what's happening in Israel, but it's taken them off the front page, has it not? And the inquiry, the investigations? Yep, it has. I haven't been able to devote time to it, but I'm not forgetting it. And I assume you're not either. We have to deal with something in front of us, but I'm not walking away from that story. And Congress should not walk away from it, and nor anyone else. I mean, when we got whistleblowers, bank records that document everything that's been reported, you do not walk away from it. But for right now, it gives the mainstream press, you want to call them that, the ones I call state-controlled press, every opportunity to Oh, look at Israel. Let's focus on Israel. That's the bright, new, shiny object. And it's far away from Hunter and Joe Biden and the rest of them. There is that little $6 billion deal with Iran that Biden still has to dance around, but he'd rather handle that and the deaths of Israelis and Americans and members from other nations in Israel than deal with the Hunter Biden laptop and everything that's inside it. That too harsh? You think so? Well, then my answer to you is it sucks to be you, because I'm not changing my opinion on it. I want to share something with you. This is brought to my attention by my boots on the ground, Andrew. I'm glad he watched it. I had not seen it. This is Robert Sterling on a tweet. He is a CFO, investor, also served in the Marines. He wrote, "It's been amazing this week to watch the left invent, or rather invert, every rhetorical device they've used since 2020, at all to avoid having to criticize terrorists dedicated to Jewish genocide. It would be hilarious if it weren't so reprehensible." Sterling continues in his tweet, "2020, silence is violence. In 2023, people cannot be expected to comment on every situation. It's okay to just stay silent, especially while events are unfolding, such as we have going on now with the Biden and our the Israeli situation. 2020, if you're nitpicking small details instead of focusing on the big picture, you're doing so to avoid your complicity in the atrocities. 2023, 40 babies weren't actually beheaded. 40 babies may have been killed. Some of them may have been beheaded, but that's not the same as 40 getting beheaded. Details matter." He says, "You look at 2020, how the leftists were doing things. Universities must proactively take a stand, speaking out in opposition to racism, academic freedom, a false concept used to enforce oppression. 2023, universities need to maintain neutrality and ensure that they do not deny anyone an opportunity, because that would be discrimination. 2020, you must immediately, forcefully condemn an attack, even if investigations are going on. 2023, you cannot expect us to release statements opposing an attack within 4 days when the attacks are still being discovered. Israel hasn't even allowed UN investigators at the scenes of these, quote, alleged massacres." Now, make no mistake about it. I hope you are understanding this is all, you might say, tongue-in-cheek. He's chastising these attitudes. He has several more along the same line. I'll conclude with this one. 2020, anything that disproportionately affects one group of people is oppression and must be condemned. There's your woke movement. 2023, reference settlers, a term that includes all Israeli Jews, are not civilians and are therefore all valid targets for attacks. As you said in the beginning, the left using every rhetorical device they've used since 2020, all to avoid having to criticize terrorists dedicated to Jewish genocide. I would have thought after what we discovered following World War II and the concentration camps, we'd all be standing up against it. Apparently not so. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.